The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There have been situations in all of our lives where we were disappointed, saddened, and maybe even led to our anger at others. Times when others let us down, didn't hold up their end of the bargain, maybe even hurt us. Perhaps this has happened with friends, co-workers, classmates, family members, maybe even those representing the church. You might already be making a connection with our gospel, but I'd like to add some additional color to that story. In our gospel, Jesus has returned to Jerusalem during Passover, which from his Jewish upbringing would not have been unusual. Jews traveled from throughout the Roman Empire and beyond to return to Jerusalem to celebrate the yearly feast of Passover, commemorating their deliverance from slavery in Egypt by God. It remembers how God saved his Israelite people from the angel of death who passed over their homes, which they had marked with the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. In our first reading from Exodus, we hear God's commandments that were given to Moses for the Israelites during their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. These commandments were how God's chosen people were to order their lives and society to honor the God that delivered them. But now back to Jesus entering into the temple, which this time was a little different. In the Gospel of John, this scripture follows Jesus' first miracle at the wedding of Cana. So this is the first time Jesus has entered the holy city for Passover after the beginning of his public ministry, and that would later lead him back to Jerusalem to offer his life for us all. The celebration of Passover in Jerusalem set up what we might call a business opportunity to make money off of all those travelers, arriving with their foreign currencies and in need of sacrificial animals for the feast. So merchants set up their booths within the confines of the temple area to transact their business. But the temple was a holy space. For the Jews, the Holy of Holies inside the temple in Jerusalem was God's one and only earthly home. Jesus was greatly and rightly upset upon seeing how the temple was being dishonored. Oftentimes, the theme of righteous anger is preached with this gospel, but I'd like to suggest that Jesus' initial emotions were more likely disappointment, frustration, sadness. That all this was allowed to happen within the temple area without any pushback from the priests, scribes, or Pharisees, but also just seen as acceptable by the Jewish faithful themselves, lost in their own apathy. How could the people that God delivered from their slavery be so nonchalant about the use or the abuse of God's temple? How could they speak the commandments and honor the Feast of Passover, yet turn from the law and living their lives? It was from these initial emotions that Jesus turned to a righteous anger and took to clearing the temple area of the merchants by purifying it. The Jews react to Jesus' actions just as St. Paul recounts for us in our second reading. They ask for a sign, some divine proof that validates his actions. Jesus then speaks those misunderstood words about destroying the temple and he rebuilding it in 3 days. But those words only serve to further bewilder them. The sign was yet to come, that of Christ crucified and resurrected. It was to be a stumbling block for the Jews, both here with the cleansing of the temple and yet to come with Jesus hanging on the cross. When we reflect on this gospel about the cleansing of the temple, we should also consider St. Paul's words elsewhere to the Corinthians. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? When Jesus peers into our hearts, our bodies, our temples, what emotions does he feel? He has a tremendous desire, a zeal to purify us, to make us clean, just as he did with the man with leprosy who came and asked that of him. This penitential season of Lent is a time for us to look into our hearts, our temple, and determine where we might need to do a little cleaning. Where are we in need of deliverance from slavery to our sins? We are almost at the halfway point in the Lenten season. Lent is an opportune time to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, whether it's been 1 month, 1 year, or perhaps a number of years. Please ask and allow Jesus to make you clean and to free you. In addition to our scheduled confession times on Tuesday and Thursday evenings, as well as Saturday mornings, the Lenten communal penance services will begin in another week at parishes throughout the local area. And that schedule is available printed in our bulletin. Brothers and sisters, we proclaim Christ crucified, a message that St. Paul warns us is a stumbling block for some and foolishness to others. But as our psalmist reminded us, it's he who has the words of everlasting life. At our parish mission this past week, Father John Ricardo challenged us to pledge our oath of allegiance to Christ our King, placing our faith in him, our hope in his promises, and sharing the love of Christ in our world. May we use this Lenten season to examine and purify ourselves so that the light of Christ will shine through the temples of our bodies into an apathetic world so in need of Jesus Christ.